Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bong. James Bong.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Bong.
I feel mean. The knees hurt me.
I'm your huckleberry.
Please do, we cut the Kit Kat and hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Ashcast podcast for February 22nd, 2021. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us we have Chris.
Hello.
And yeah, we got tons of stuff to this week, so especially Paramount Plus stuff. They dumped a whole bunch of news before that launches next week, so we'll get to that in a little bit here. But we'll kick things off with some trailers, and we got the first trailer for Army of the Dead, which is, I mean, if you're a Zack Snyder fan, you're getting a ton of stuff this spring. The Snyder Cut's coming in like a couple weeks here, and then in May on Netflix, we're getting Army of the Dead, which is Zack Snyder's return to like the zombie genre, although meshing it up with like the heist genre. And yeah, it's basically, there's a team of mercenaries who are basically trying to plan a heist and like execute a heist during like a zombie outbreak in Las Vegas. So like zombies start like overrunning Las Vegas and like it's quarantined, but then like these mercenaries kind of go in and are trying to like rob Las Vegas, basically like Ocean's 11 style.
I mean, that I feel like it's, is it the first year of the apocalypse or like a few years in, right?
I feel like what the descriptions are is that it's only Las Vegas and they quarantine Las Vegas to like contain the outbreak.
Okay.
But like they're going to get, so like, but they're like breaking the quarantine, like going to like rob the casinos and rob the banks or whatever.
That just are not in service, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, what was that? What was
Hurricane that, Ice?
not Hurricane Ice. The one with like Rona Mitra, like the like Escape from New York, like. Oh, Doomsday.
Doomsday.
I feel like it's like sort of like that sitting there. Because wasn't that also like they like quarantined like London or something, or quarantined a section of London?
Yeah, just like, oh yeah, the world's like normal. Just this one area has just gone to shit.
Yeah. And yeah, you got Dave Bautista leading these mercenary team. And then you also got like Garrett Dillahunt, Rock Castilla, and De La Rivera, Omari Hardwick, Tig Notaro, Hiroyuki Sanada, diverse mercenary teams going on there. And yeah, May 21st on Netflix. It definitely looks like, I mean, obviously, like Zack Snyder directed the Dawn of the Dead remake, but like this doesn't seem as much like a Romero zombie movie as like it looks like more like World War Z, kind of like there's definitely like shots that look like right out of World War Z.
Yeah, it's big like landscapes filled with the undead, and like, then people just running.
Yeah, just like massive hordes of zombies in like a couple of those sequences, and then but also yeah, it looks like it's like some like maybe like some like Zombieland like humor, especially like it looks like when like the outbreak first happens in Las Vegas and like bachelorette parties are turning into zombies and eating people and stuff. And
I guess they're gonna do that, like they're gonna explore that the fun montage of just how the world crumbles apart, like he did in Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah,
because that was like the part that people, you know, enjoyed about the fun silliness of the zombies, just like the everyday society that like gets out of hand because zombies arrived. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh hey, like it's a weekend at like, you know, Vegas, yay, and then just like zombies, you're like, ah shit. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like take like the Hangover and then throw the zombie apocalypse around it. Mm-hmm. But it seems like they're gonna go for a like the Devil's Den or the Den of Thieves.
Oh yeah,
I felt like this was like Zack Snyder's like Den of Thieves take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's basically mashing up Den of Thieves with like World War Z.
Yeah, because the heist part is like interesting, but then it's like, oh, there's also, like, zombies. You're like, what?
Mm-hmm. Elvis zombies.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty cool. I mean, Dave Bautista, I don't think he's, like, the main character we follow. I think he's just, like, in it, right?
I feel like he's got to be, like, the team leader or something. Like, because he's, like, the main star of it, I would imagine. Unless they're going to do some crazy twist where, like, he dies, like, 10 minutes in or something.
I don't know. I get that vibe where he's in it for, like, his plot, but there's, like, a bunch of different plots happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be subversive where...
they all get, like, separated or something? Or...
yeah, yeah. And it's, like, you care more about Dave Bautista, but the movie isn't about Dave Bautista.
Mm-hmm.
Like, World War Z was like that. Like, you care about Brad Pitt, but, like, he's not the only person in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see, like, that.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out in May 21st, on Netflix. It's one of the big original Netflix movies that's coming soon. And then we also got the first show this week for the new Pixar movie that's coming. They're saying in June, and they're saying it's theatrical in June. It's not like a Disney Plus or like a Premier Access release or anything. It's going to be hopefully theatrical. But yeah, Luca is the new Pixar movie, which is directed by Enrico Casarosa, who directed the La Luna short that was in front of Brave, if you remember that, back in 2011. I'm sure you could probably watch that right now on Disney Plus as well if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is his feature debut for Pixar. And you got Jacob Tremblay and Jacqueline Glazer starring as these two friends, Luca and Alberto, who are spending the summer in like this like gorgeous seaside Italian Riviera town. But they're secretly sea creatures or sea monsters, and if they get wet, they reveal like their true selves. So basically, they like hide their true identities from like the townspeople while they like gorge themselves in pasta and gelato and have wacky Italian adventures.
Like a Super Mario Brother type things going on.
Yeah.
It's like, I saw that and it's cute and it's just like, the animation is so jarring to me that it looks like it's the Grubhub commercial of the people ordering food and dancing at their house.
Yeah.
So I was like watching this. I was like, I get it. Like whoever animated this probably did work on that and they just know dancing food.
Yeah. I guess it's probably similar to Coco, but, like, I think Coco had, like, this seems more like it's, like, they're trying to, like make it look like stop motion or something. It looks like they're trying to make it look like a...
claymation.
Like a Leica movie or something.
Yeah, yeah, like, fake claymation.
Yeah. Because I think Coco is, that like, more, like, normal Pixar animation style. Like, they weren't trying to, like, emulate, like, a, like, you know, like, claymation or something, so... It's definitely an interesting look for a Pixar movie. Especially as your last couple, like Soul and Toy Story 4 and Inside Out. I feel like this one's not going to be like... I guess maybe it's existential because it's like they're trying to like hide their true identities or something, but like Pixar's been like really leaning into like the like existential crises.
It's like questioning what you enjoy in life. Like,
yeah, or like you're very like identity or something, because like Toy Story 4 had Forky, and then like Soul was all about like the afterlife and like where do souls go and like what does your soul mean?
Not even that, but it's like what is life? The whole what things are worth living for? That was deep. I watched that and I was just like, I did not expect to question this. This is like, I just want to laugh at things.
Mm-hmm. And I was Inside Out too about like dealing with your feelings and.
But that was more like. You're conscious and what's like good and sad memories. That wasn't like questioning your existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Toy Story 4 and Soul definitely were like, what are you?
Yeah. Like, can we go back to Ratatouille? Was like, do what you love. Like, you know, it's not who you are. It matters as long as you do what you love. Like, that was a good message. Same thing with Wally. Like, do what you love.
Yeah.
Not this fucking Nietzsche shit of like, you know, is it a life if you truly cannot live? Like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as an adult, that's a lot. As a kid, if they understood that message too, like, so fast, that's going to mess them up for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully this one will just be like wacky Italian adventures with like sea monsters. And yeah, so yeah, June 18th is when that's coming out. Maya Rudolph and Jim Gaffigan are also co-starring, so that should be fun. And yeah, hopefully they'll be, hopefully theaters will be ready to go by that time.
Jim Gaffigan, you know, the last Colonel Sanders.
Yes.
He's moved up since then. It's good for him.
Noted Italian, Jim Gaffigan. So, moving on to other news, we got a ton of news about Paramount Plus because that is launching on Tuesday next week. Oh, no, Thursday next week on the 4th. March 4th is when that is officially switching from CBS All Access to Paramount Plus. And we got pricing, we got original content, we got like some crazy theatrical news regarding it. So, yeah, so I guess kick it off with pricing. So, it's going to be $4.99 a month for a ad-supported version. So they're like, if you pay $4.99, you will get ads in like your shows and maybe movies. Or I'm not sure if it's, the movies are gonna have ads in them, but definitely the shows will probably have ads in them. Or you can do a $9.99 and there's no ads in anything version. And I believe CBS All Access right now is $6 a month or like $5.99 a month. So The ad-supported version is cheaper than the current CBS All Access, although I think the CBS All Access have ads right now. I don't think they do.
I don't know.
But yeah, so they announced a ton of new stuff coming. One of the biggest things was like the long in development Halo series is going to be a Paramount Plus exclusive. It's moving. Last we heard from that, it was going to be at Showtime, a Showtime original. But now it's going to be, yeah, Paramount Plus. I think Steven Spielberg is still producing that. it's been a very long time since we've heard anything from that show.
Yeah, I kind of keep forgetting.
Yeah.
That's
the thing. It's been like in development for years. So that's going to be in 2022. You'll see the Halo show like Q1 2022, so like early next year. There's also going to be a Pet Sematary prequel and a Paranormal Activity sequel. Both of those will be exclusives on Paramount Plus. So if you're looking for some horror stuff, that's going to be on there. I don't know what the hell a Pet Sematary's prequel would be like.
I guess like the first pet that gets buried there.
I mean, I guess you could. I don't know if you'd do the whole movie about it, but there was like that, the neighbor, he tells like the story about like the guy that got buried there and they came back and stuff. It's like I think he was like a soldier or something. That came back and then they buried him because he died in town, and then like they like came back as a zombie or whatever. So I guess you could just do here's another person that buried something in the Pet Sematary, and now it's trying to murder them.
Well, technically, that's what all the movies are about.
Yeah.
I just feel are they going back so fast where it's like the first time who like the Indian curse that got placed there?
Yeah, maybe we can see like the like origins of like that curse or something.
I could see that.
There's also going the long anticipated Frasier reboot is also going to be on Paramount Plus.
Now, is it a full reboot or just like the sequel?
I think it's one of those like revivals that we've been seeing recently. So Kelsey Grammer's back as Frasier. I'm assuming picking up like some sort of like maybe real time since the show ended. They're also going to make TV shows based on movies like Fatal Attraction, Flashdance, Italian Job, and The Parallax View.
I thought they're also doing one with Splash. That's Disney Plus.
Disney Plus, yeah.
I just bundled them all together because it all comes from that like era of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
That I'm like, I guess like they're going to do things like this. Mm-hmm. My thing is, the Paramount Plus network is like, who is it for? Is it for kids? Because the SpongeBob,
it is going to have like pretty much all Nickelodeon stuff is going to be on there. All Nickelodeon stuff, like all the Comedy Central stuff is going to be on there. MTV stuff is going to be on there, Smithsonian Channel, BET, CBS. I mean, and also, I mean, obviously also like all the, like, anything that's like currently on CBS All Access already, except for the Twilight Zone reboot, that got canceled before Paramount Plus got launched. But I think pretty much all the other stuff that's not, that currently on there is going to be available on there.
But the thing is, like, can you actually watch the Twilight Zone on it?
I mean, assuming you can watch, like, are you talking about, like, the original? Or, like,
any Twilight Zone, because they just own, CBS owns the right to all the Twilight Zones.
Yeah, I'm assuming you can watch, like, the two seasons of the Jordan Peele reboot. There just won't be any more new seasons of that, because they canceled it, but,
I mean, it's going to come back in, like, 12 years. Like, Twilight Zone never dies. Every time they, like, kill it, it comes back in some other form later on.
And yeah, like, you know, all the Star Trek stuff, it's like, you know, like, Discovery and, Picard and all those are going to be on there, obviously. They're adding another new Star Trek show, like another animated show called, Star Trek Prodigy.
What?
Which, yeah, it's like, it's a Star Trek, I think it's like a Star Trek show where, like, the entire crew is, like, or the entire crew they follow is all alien, so it's like an all alien Star Trek show. And I think there's new, they made a whole new, like, company to, like, do it, but, like, I think there's new, like, Avatar and Legend of Korra stuff coming, like movies or something possibly in the future.
Yeah, I heard that.
They basically made Avatar Studios or something is this whole, like, new animation group that's just going to be working on that stuff. But yeah, probably the biggest thing, which I think is probably going to be, like, a bit, like, it kind of makes me, like, feel like I need to get it at some point, is all the Paramount theatrical releases. So, like, Quiet Place Part 2 and Mission Impossible 7, and I think they said even, like, the, like No Time to, like, the James Bond, like, because I think MGM is also, like, in, like, this, whatever, like, the, like, CBS, Paramount, like, whatever that conglomerate is, like, MGM is also part of that, so, like, No Time to Die will be on here as well, that's whenever it comes out. But all those movies, all the theatrical movies are going to be available 45 days after they're in theaters, so if you can wait 45 days and not see it in theaters, you can watch it on Paramount Plus as part of your Paramount Plus subscription.
That's not bad. It's their way of taking on HBO Max.
Yeah. It feels like it's sort of like in between, like, Disney Plus with, like, their, like, premium access where you have to pay extra to watch it, and then HBO Max where it's just, like, it's day to day. This is like a middle ground. I think Universal is, like, planning possibly on doing something like this as well. Although, like, Universal is doing more of, like, a like, it's the premium video on demand thing where it's like you can rent it for $20 after, like, a month in theaters or something. So everyone's trying to, like, figure out their new, like, theatrical strategy.
Yeah, we knew it was gonna happen once the world kind of got used to watching movies at home.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think they would have, like, there'd be this many companies.
Yeah, just everyone doing it.
Everyone's got a gimmick.
Yep. So yeah, and also, last thing is, to talk about Paramount Plus that they announced, is there's a Rugrats revival, which is going to be CG. If you've seen the trailers for the new SpongeBob movie, which I think is also going to be a exclusive to the Paramount Plus, that was supposed to come on theaters, like, last year or 2 years ago, at least. That's going to be a Paramount Plus exclusive. But yeah, the same sort of CG art, like, style of the new SpongeBob movie. The entire original cast of Rugrats is coming back, and we're getting a new, like, Rugrats revival show. And they're back to being babies, which, like, there was, like, a very weird era of, like, let's just, like, it's, like, was it all grown up, and, like, was there another one even after that for Rugrats?
No, I think it was just all grown up.
Yeah. So yeah, so they're back to being babies and like the original the original Rugrats style. So you can check that out next Thursday. I don't know if they're gonna have any sort of like trial. I think right now it's like a 7-day trial for CBS All Access before you like are fully committed to it. But I don't know if they're gonna have any sort of like special deal besides like their new prices next week. But I guess we'll find out.
I bet like that seems like a good like trial tier to try it out because not a lot of it jumps out at you just yet.
Well, I've been debating like doing a trial of CBS All Access for like just to like because I wanted to check out like the new Stand.
Yeah.
And then also like Console Wars was also on there, like the documentary based on the book about the SNES Genesis battle in the 90s. Like that's like a Paramount Plus exclusive movie. So yeah, I might I'll do like a month or two to start with here. And when it launches and see what's going on with it. Definitely not interested in any of the Star Trek stuff.
Yeah.
that's like the main selling point for like most people for right now for CBS. It's like if you're a Star Trek fan, you basically have to subscribe to it, but yeah, I guess we'll see when it launches and see if they change the app and what the app looks like and all that stuff next week. So get ready for that stuff. And so moving on to other news, apparently over at Amazon, they're developing a G.I. Joe show that's going to be focused on Lady J.
Random. Really random of all the characters.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the Lady J character?
Sort of, yeah.
So she's just like covert ops. Like she's not a kind of like a commando.
Yeah.
You know, she's good for, like, sneaking into the ground and kind of just looking around and then trying to tell the rest of the Joes, like, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That was her specialty.
Yeah.
So she's just going to play, like a spy? It's a spy show?
I guess. It'd be some sort of, like, espionage show, I guess.
So the thing is, it's like, we have, like, so many other kind of like spy shows out there that you throw G.I. Joe and it's like, yeah, G.I. Joe, but now it's just the one spy. Like, what? You know what I mean? Like, they didn't really, I understand if G.I. Joe was like a hot commodity right now and then they were trying to spin it off to be able to build its own G.I. Joe universe. Great idea, right? But, I mean, they can't even get the G.I. Joe Snake Eyes movie off the ground fully. Like, I know it's like somewhere being filmed.
I think it's done. I think it's possibly going to be like late this year.
So I feel like it's just like, oh, they announced it, but like, hey, let's just wait on this like other thing before they try to jump on the greater universe. And can you imagine if they don't connect it? Like you've wasted like time. I just feel it's a bad thing to not connect your movies and TV shows.
Yeah, and how many other characters from the G.I. Joe-verse would like even show up in this? Like,
oh, we only want this one license. We only license this one character.
Yeah.
What?
No Cobra, no Destro, no other Joes.
No like, mentioning of, like, the program, no mentioning of, like, you know, any of the greater universe, just, like, you're on your own. Just my, you know, it's like Lady J. It's like, what? It's like the one time that I, as a kid, I thought the movie G.I. Jane could be to potential, like, a G.I. Joe movie.
Yeah,
and it's totally not. So,
I thought I heard like because there's Snake Eyes movie, and then they're planning on doing a sequel to the Snake Eyes movie. Were they talking about like was there like a Chuckles movie or something, or they were talking about something with Chuckles?
The like Tunnel Rat? Oh no, the like another covert guy.
Yeah, the Hawaiian shirt spy who like does such stuff. Yeah,
I didn't know he was in a movie.
I thought there was like a show or some sort of thing with Chuckles being like thought of, like developed.
Well,
here's the
thing about it. It's like he's a cover agent. Like as much as that is, it's a limited storytelling when you have like such a better universe. You know, I really hate the spies in G.I. Joe. If you haven't heard, I just don't.
Yeah.
Don't agree.
Mm-hmm. And no casting for Lady J, although the last time we saw Lady J on the screen was Adrian Palicki in G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Yeah, I mean, not bad. Mm-hmm. I liked her. And her thing would have been good if she did like a little bit of infiltrating because she got to dance with the president.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, can you do that for a whole TV show? Because then you're just making that other movie. What's the Jennifer Garner one?
Oh, Alias?
Yeah, it's just Alias.
Yeah.
But the comic version, she was like this big breakout character in the G.I. Joe verse because she was like interested in Flint and they had adventures together and then they eventually got married in the comic and then...
Yeah, can you imagine if like this Lady J show, if there's no Flint, like, I feel like you'd have to have a Flint in there at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you need, like, I don't have to have Lady J be with Flint, like, you know what I mean? You can make her own person.
Yeah.
However, it's like, isn't your goal to build up the G.I. Joe universe? Because you have, like, a roster of characters, like, a giant roster of characters, and you just went for a Lady J show, and it's like, you can't use anyone else. And can you imagine you can't use Cobra? That's also like a big sin if it's like a G.I. Joe movie. Well, who are you fighting? Drug dealers? Like it's like you know how in the Marvel Netflix shows they couldn't reference anyone big for the first few episodes. Like they always had to start with like gangsters, and then slowly introduce the crazy like supervillains or more of a greater threat. But I mean, that's the stupid thing about covert characters, again, where it's like, your covert characters just go underground into Cobra. Like, it's not like they infiltrate another organization.
Yeah. I'm assuming this will probably come out after Snake Eyes, so I guess maybe after Snake Eyes comes out, if that's, like, somehow awesome, then maybe this like everyone will be more excited for the Slay J show.
Yeah, yeah. That seems good.
But I guess we'll wait and see. I mean, they were kind of on the right track with Retaliation. Retaliation was pretty fun, but that's all wiped out though, because now it's like they're trying to build up like the Hasbro universe where it's like all the Hasbro stuff is like together, like Mask and G.I. Joe and Transformers and Action Man and I think like Rom the Space Knight and like all these other like. Like 80s toy lines are gonna be like in the same universe. So moving on to other news, we got the official title this week for Spider-Man 3, which is now officially Spider-Man No Way Home.
I'm down with it.
Yeah, it definitely like it seems like you could like read it like it's like, oh, he has no way home because he's a fugitive now, based on what happened at the end of Far From Home, or No Way Home because he's like bouncing through the multiverse, possibly.
Yeah, there's a lot of good plays on it. You don't know exactly which one's gonna land.
And I think that, that's gonna be late this year, like December this year, hopefully, is when it's gonna be out. And we could finally see if like all like what the hell's going on with like all these like insane cameos and characters coming back from other movies and
that we set up the new phase 4.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, phase 4 is on right now because WandaVision kicked off phase 4. So if things go like how Disney wants it this year, like it's Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals and Spider-Man No Way Home this year. And then Thor Love and Thunder, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, Black Panther 2, and Captain Marvel 2 next year. Because they lost a year last year, so they got cranking out the MCU.
I mean, the thing is, the Black Widow movie, that really should have been part of the other phase, but it's taking so long and it's moving, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're going to watch that Black Widow movie and we're like, is it before WandaVision?
No. It's before Civil War. Like,
yeah, so I'm like, oh, okay, we're going that far back.
Yeah. And that's on top of, like, the, like, Disney Plus shows. Like, I think we just found out this week that Loki's coming out in June 11th. And, like, Falcon Winter Soldier is starting, like, literally the week after WandaVision ends. Like, it's like WandaVision episode 9 next week, Falcon Winter Soldier episode 1.
I do like the constant Marvel stuff, so we don't, like, take a break and just kind of, you know, forget things.
Yeah. But actually, jumping over to the DC side of things, Blue Beetle is getting a movie, and they picked out a director this week. Angel Manuel Soto, who directed Charm City Kings. I think that was like an HBO Max movie, or like some sort of like. I think it's about like a motorcycle gang or something. I think that was like an HBO or HBO Max like exclusive. It's like this teenager wants to like join this like group of like Baltimore dirt bikers. it was like an indie Sundance movie. That got picked up by HBO Max. But he is directing Blue Beetle. And they haven't cast Blue Beetle yet, but I guess this would be part of the DCEU, though that doesn't really mean anything at this point because all the movies are just whatever they want to be, basically. So
yeah, I mean, can you imagine if Justice League does so well, it basically brings back the Snyderverse as like the de facto version, and they're like, oh shit, we got to write everything around that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big if, but I just think that's just hilarious if it works. And people are like, God damn it, like, we had other plans.
And it's going to be the Jaime Reyes version of Blue Beetle, who is in the comics canon is like the third Blue Beetle. Also the main, like, if you watched Young Justice and stuff, that's the Blue Beetle who's in Young Justice.
Mm-hmm. He's more alien than boy.
Yeah. Batman Made the Bold is also the Jaime Reyes version. So not really too much details about that yet, but could be a fun. Like, Blue Beetle's a fun character, like just like with like crazy, like it's like he's sort of Venom-esque, but if Venom turns you into like Iron Man or something instead of like an alien monster. Because instead of like an alien monster, the alien that's attached to him like just gives him like a bunch of like crazy weapons and stuff.
Yeah, I mean it's more of like a symbolic relationship between them where he's not the Blue Beetle that just kind of like, yeah, my suit doesn't talk to me, I just tell it to do things.
Yeah.
So, I mean that's fine. That's I mean, more people are used to that, because I think before that, the Blue Beetle was just, like, not as popular.
Well, yeah, Ted Kord, and then, but I think Blue Beetle was, like, a Charleston Comics character, like one of those ones that, like, got, like, folded into DC after, like, DC, like, bought Charleston or whatever, like, back the, like, 30s or whatever, so. Yeah, there's been a bunch of like there was like a Blue Beetle who like got his power from like a magic scarab at one point, and then like there's another Blue Beetle who like took a vitamin and he turned into a beetle, I guess, or something.
What?
I think that was like the Charlton days. There was Dan Garrett, who gained his superpowers first from a special vitamin. but then he got his powers from a sacred scarab. So definitely one of the weirder 30s superheroes, and there were a lot of weird 30s superheroes.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, so last bit of news for this week is that we got news that Twisted Metal is coming to TV from PlayStation, was it PlayStation Productions, who is also, I believe, working on the, or like one of the production companies behind The Last of Us show and I think the Uncharted movie, obviously, because those are both big PlayStation properties as well. But yeah, so you got Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who have written like Deadpool and like most of Ryan Reynolds' recent stuff. They're writing on the show. Michael Jonathan Smith, who is from Cobra Kai, is writing on the show. Will Arnett is producing the show, so that seems like maybe they're leaning toward more, like making it more of a comedy. But like,
it's like, come meet the Twisted Metals.
Yeah, Sweet Tooth, he's a wacky clown. But yeah, I don't know, like, I mean, would you have a whole, like, the whole season just, like, build, like, it just is, like a tournament show? Like, it's, like, every week is, like, a new match or something, and they build, like, the final, or, like...
Maybe, or it's, like, every episode's, like, about falls contestant that, like, leads to the final mess, so it's, like, you know, you get, like, one character, show them their origin, and then show them why they entered this tournament.
Yeah. I think it'd be cool if like if it was like an anthology where like every episode like you follow one person and they win, like do it like Twisted Metal Black or something, where like you see like they win the tournament and then they get like what like the like horrible like
it's horrible
like,
Twilight Zone ending.
The Monkey's Paw Wish from Calypso.
Yeah. It's not a great thing to win some of these Twisted Metal things.
Yeah. Oh, I guess it's gonna follow one, so I just saw the plot description. So it's gonna be an action comedy, and it's gonna follow one character who follows a motor mouth outsider offered a chance at a better life, but only if he can successfully deliver a mysterious package across the post-apocalyptic wasteland.
But that's like all these characters is a mysterious person.
With the help of a trigger-happy car thief, he'll face savage marauders driving vehicles of mass destruction and other dangers of the road, including a deranged clown. Who drives an ultra-familiar ice cream truck. So it sounds like it's not really a... It sounds like it's not really a tournament. It's just, like, he's given... This guy's given his job. And then, like, all the Twisted Metal people are just, like, out in the wastelands, just, like, roaming around, like, attacking him.
Oh. Not sure I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Then again, there hasn't been anything Twisted Metal in a while, so... There's really nothing to lose.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely feel like they should have gone back to, like, Black and kind of, like, used that as their inspiration, because that was probably the best story-wise for the Twisted Metal franchise.
Oh, yeah, that thing was, like, ironic. Everyone got, like, an ironic ending.
Yeah.
And then it was just, like...
And it had...
Never make a deal with the devil lesson.
And it had, like, its awesome, like, kind of, like, Nine Inch Nails, like, scary industrial like feel to everything.
Mm-hmm. It looked like it wanted to be like a Korn.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like a Marilyn Manson CD cover.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess we'll have to see what's going on with this Twisted Metal show. There's no platform, no network yet, no casting yet. Maybe if Last of Us is a huge hit for HBO, maybe like they'll like form like a partnership and they'll put this on HBO as well. Although it could be like pretty much anywhere, like it could be on Netflix or Prime Video, or whoever bids on it the most. And I think PlayStation does, like Sony and PlayStation are also like really like trying to like they made like the PlayStation Productions like company. Because they're like really trying to get like a lot of their, more of their properties like into like movies and TV shows. So I'm sure we'll probably get like a God of War something at some point soon here, and like whatever other big Sony PlayStation exclusives
are around. I mean, listen, people want to make money off these things. I'm surprised they waited this long for a God of War.
I mean, there's even like a God of War thing announced.
I know. I'm just saying, even in the idea, I'm like, yeah, like you figure they would try to capitalize on a lot of that.
Yeah, you'd assume there would have been a movie already, like something.
Because all the thing, Twisted Metal is like, it comes and goes. Because like Twisted Metal, every 10 years is like a Twisted Metal game now.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, when's the last time I've seen a Twisted Metal product, and they just go straight to the movie or a TV show, and I'm like, oh wow, they not even bringing back a revival game or an HD remake of all three games or anything.
Mm-hmm.
The more surprising part was the Will Arnett, because it's like, just because he was Lego Batman, he's just like, I know what kids want, like I know what makes the money. Because I first saw that, and it was like, oh, Will Arnett, is he going to play Sweet Tooth?
That'd be cool.
That'd be different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and the last game was 2012.
Ooh, see, it's almost like 10 years.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's it for news this week. So why don't we jump into show and tell. And, Chris, did you see anything in the last week or so here?
I have. I've been watching a lot of Resident Alien.
Okay.
I've caught up on 4 episodes, I think. 3 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
I saw commercials for it. I haven't seen it yet.
I think it's really good. It's like, the first 2 episodes are like, it's a mix of, like, Dexter, I'm trying to figure out. It definitely reminds me of something else, but like maybe I'll describe to you.
Well, isn't like Alan Tudyk, like, I mean, obviously he's an alien, but isn't he like a medical examiner or something, or like he's like investigating like murders or something?
So the premise is that an alien crashes onto Earth and he takes over, like he mimics like a real person, but he has no idea this person's background, and then is kind of learning about the person, and then the more time he spends human, the more he develops these human emotions and stuff, and mm-hmm. these like things that he didn't know about humanity, because he comes from an alien race that's a little more advanced, like way more advanced, and like he considers humans like kind of like monkeys and like not evolved to his level, but he doesn't understand how humans can just live this way, because he comes from a society that's just more, a little more straightforward, so he learns to blend in. But then there is a town murder, like this doctor that is dead, and he deduces from just like his own kind of experiment, his own like reasoning, that like it was a murder, not an accident. And then the town is sort of freaking out on that, while on the same B side plot is a kid who like can see under his disguise, because like he has like this genetic disguise that's able to see like morph his body into an alien, but this kid could see through it. And it's like, oh, like he mentions like, yeah, like only like 3% of the population could see like exactly who he is, so like this kid is trying to like always expose him. But they got used to each other for the first, it's like they're like sort of used to each other, but it's like playful, but it isn't the first time, like he's legit trying to kill this kid. And it's really hilarious, but like, you know, a few episodes in, like it's just like they're trying to like outwit each other, and then like all these trouble things about the Alan Tudyk's real character starts coming, because he doesn't like just bop the guy and whatever. He straight up murders like the real Alan Tudyk and just takes over his life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he's not supposed to be like sympathetic, because it's like, oh shit, like I gotta deal with this like guy I killed. He brings it up a lot. So he's like sort of a psycho killer at times, and that's why I'm like, the show is a hodgepodge of trying to be like Dexter, because he's got these psychopathic tendencies and he's reasoning. Wait, you've never seen Dexter, right?
No.
Oh, God damn it. All right. But it's like Dexter in that way, because Dexter is a show about the mind of a serial killer. So you're in the mind of an alien who just like hates humans, but like has to deal with them. Then it's also like one of those procedurals with like a foreign doctor or like some outsider moves into the town, like Northern Exposure was something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where he's like the city doctor that goes into the small town. Mm-hmm. It's like the same thing, except the town is just Colorado. And for some reason, this town is like so, I don't know, not like behind on the times, but it doesn't make sense why, like, it's like the small town that's just perfectly protected by nature and like just like old timey things. And it's like, I don't know why, what remote area of Colorado is this, but imagine it exists. I'm just not familiar with it, but they make it sound like it's a whole different, like, America. And then you have the like, other plots that are introduced where, like, the government is interested on the strange appearance of this alien, and you have, like, conspiracy theories that are, like, in the town trying to figure stuff out. And then there's the murder that happened that the alien, like, uncovered. And it's funny because the Alan Tudyk character, he's there on, like, vacation. Like, that's his vacation home. And so when he murders him, he's like, well, can you be the town doctor? Because, like, the town doctor died. And so every day he's, like, trying to figure out what's wrong with people. Like, he's, like, Googling things, trying to, like, learn about humanity, like, in human anatomy, and then dealing with all these, like, emotions that he doesn't process right. And it's pretty funny because he's just, like, he's almost like a Borat type character where it's like, doctor, I don't feel good. It's like, that's sad. Well, you may go now. Like, it's a lot of that. But they sprinkle in a lot of like fun subplots to keep it interesting. Like the more and more town people are introduced and the more of their interaction, it builds up. Like this is town sheriff who, I forget his name, but he prefers to be called like Black something. And everyone's uncomfortable by saying it, mm-hmm. But he's like super empowered. He's just like, he's like a very crazy Walker Texas Ranger. He's got the same attitude, but like the town is not like in for it. Like he's really intense and he's trying to like really push all these like rules and laws. And everyone's just kind of like, all right. So, and he's like really excited for this serial killer, this killer. Cause he's just like, oh, you know, there's like one kill. If he kills once, he might do it again. And then that's how I get like famous for catching the serial killer. And they're like, doesn't serial imply that like, he's got like a plan and a motive. He's like, hell yeah, there is, and I'm gonna stop it. He's just like, won't people die? He's like, some sacrifices have to be made. It's that kind of level of like just witty banter between him. But it's pretty good. Like I kind of prefer if Sci-Fi didn't air so many ads about it because it kind of ruins the funny moments like early on. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're really trying to. They're really throwing more ads and kind of like hot sales on it. But like, if they kind of reel back a bit and just say like, you know, the basics and get the marketing right. Cause I think like the show will speak for itself. You don't need to like go gun ho. Cause I was watching like so many ads that I basically saw the first episode by watching all the trailers, like, you know, just watching all the commercials. And I was like, okay. And then it's like, yeah, it's doing good. And here's all the things for the second episode. It's like, okay, please don't show me all these like in, like shortcuts and stuff to like what's happening. So, yeah, like it definitely deserves it. I definitely like remember the comic being good. It's a little different. The comic, he's more like a vampire alien looking than he does look like in this. Because this one, he straight up looks like a 60s alien.
Yeah, like a gray or something.
He's green. He's a green, but he's got the bulbous head and the big bug eyes. But in the comic, he's more like a Nosferatu looking monster. Mm-hmm. So when he morphs into a human, it's a little bit easier. But for him, he's basically this giant like alien that is almost reminds me of like Ender's Game.
Okay.
Like he's bigger, and then he like morphs down to like the human size, and then even then, the human size, he changes into like to Alan Tudyk. Like he puts on like a projection for himself. So, it's good. It's really, like, a fun mix of comedy, drama, and then the suspense is, like, you're trying to figure out the overarching, like, murder story. But, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much going on that you're like, okay, it's like another plot line. And what else did I watch? I was watching something else. I was on the side, I was just like watching cartoons. But yeah, I think that like Resident Alien is like the best part I watched.
Yeah, I don't think I have Sci-Fi right now because I have Philo is like for like cable stuff. I don't think Sci-Fi's in Philo. So.
Oh, the first two episodes are free on YouTube too. Like
maybe I'll say, yeah, maybe watch it there or something. Yeah,
just watch on there to get into it. But the first two episodes kind of give you the basics. You really need to watch like the third and like the fourth to get like the meat of the story. Like a lot of the first two episodes, I think they put it on on for free because it was like streaming free on Sci-Fi. It was streaming free on YouTube. Like because of like it does take you to draw in, but then like once you're in, it's good. Like that part is good. Like writing. However, it definitely feels like a procedural. Like at some points, like the medical parts and the like murder mystery part is like almost like Monk.
Okay.
Because it's like, you know, you see Monk, right? Or know about
it? I mean, I know about it, yeah.
Yeah, because he's like eclectic and he's got the same attitude where no one really understands him, but in his way, he's like, he's got like a benefit to his craziness. So based on that structure, you have the same idea with like this alien that's pretending to be human, but because they keep calling him a doctor and he like is actually, he's smart, but he's like egotistical, so like a lot of the is like himself messing up, because he's like trying to. He's always like he always says like he's better than humans, but he's actually saying this out loud to other humans, and they're just like, "What?" Oh, and I saw the new HBO Witches movie.
Oh yeah, I saw that like last year's time. Like I think I watched it like toward the end of the year, like to see if it like would like end up in my list of top movies. It didn't, but it was
good. Okay up until the end.
Yeah,
I'm not sure we talked about the ending, but I did not like the ending.
We could spoil it. I mean, it's been at least when did they come out, like October last year, so it's been months. So were you not on board for like him never turning back into a kid?
I did not like that.
Yeah, and then it's this old, like, weird old Chris Rock mouse.
And then he recruits, like, an army of kid people.
Yeah, like, he's recruiting kids. They're basically recruiting child soldiers to go and, like, murder witches.
Didn't like that.
Yeah. It's also weird, too, like, that, like, he's so, like, gung-ho about being, like, he's like, yeah, I don't have to go to school anymore. I'm a mouse. But then you're also, like, aging.
Like faster.
Yeah.
And then he's like, hey, Grandma, we'll die together. I'm like, oh my God, that's so dark.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the look of the witches was definitely pretty awesome. Like especially the first, like when like Anne Hathaway like does like the first like big reveal of just like what they actually look like and stuff.
It was a horrifying, but I feel like this movie would have been better in 3D because there's a lot of like arm reaching scenes that.
Yeah,
that was a 3D effect.
It definitely is, like Robert Zemeckis is definitely like a big like 3D guy, so I'm sure that was probably like in the plans before everything happened. So. Yeah, I feel like the original, like the 90s one or like the 80s one is still probably more horrifying just because it's like practical and it was actually directed by like a horror, like a horror director directed that movie.
Well, the energy in that movie definitely matches with the tone and everything. You know, it's got that gritty look. The practical effects are just like weird and just like disturbing. Where in this version, when they do like the witch changing thing, when they turn into rats.
Yeah.
Like, it's more, like, funny. It almost reminds me of, God damn it, I can't remember. What's the movie with the spy? And it's, like, the part goes off and everyone starts exploding with their headpiece.
Oh, Kingsman?
Kingsman.
Yeah, it was, like, Kingsman, but then, like, I think it's supposed to be, like a fart joke, too, because they're, like, exploding and farting and, like smoke's flying out of them and stuff. So it's definitely the ending is definitely like wacky.
Yeah, it's a little too wacky when consider that at the end it's just like, oh, we're not gonna turn back, so might as well like get justice. And also we have friends to join us.
We have this like British boy who was abandoned by his parents, and then like this like orphan girl who's like been a rat or a mouse for like who knows how long.
Yeah. That was dark. I was like, oh my god, what is this?
Yeah.
Because I was like looking, I was like, I don't remember this at all. Like in the original. And then I definitely did not remember at the end. It's like we're all just rat brothers and sisters now. Or like mice brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. But I will say Anne Hathaway's performance, I didn't mind.
Yeah, she's like going all in with like the like insane accent and yeah, just like leading into just like being just like crazy, just like over the top crazy.
I think she would have been a great Cruella de Vil too.
Yes. It was definitely a villain.
For your consideration for a Cruella de Vil movie, just make her the witch's woman.
Yeah.
I was totally fine. Like she had the mix of like funny and then like deadly and then a little bit of like kind of like kid friendly threatening. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a fun like family. It's not really a horror movie, but like it's like family like adventure, I guess.
Yeah.
Probably one of the better like Roald Dahl adaptations.
Did you see the end of that where they show you the Roald Dahl production company and it's all those logos of Roald Dahl things?
Yeah, it's like the new like oh man, there's more coming, guys.
Like yeah, get ready. I'm like
the Roald Dahl verse, the Roald Dahl cinematic universe. They're gonna assemble the Avengers of like James, the Giant Peach, and Willy Wonka.
Charlie,
yeah, they're all gonna like
the BFG. I think the BFG did come out before, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that was like a couple years ago. That was a Disney movie.
But that's the thing. It's like everyone owns a little bit of Roald Dahl here and there.
Yeah. I think isn't there some sort of new Willy Wonka thing coming? Isn't there like a prequel or something that they're talking about? Oh boy. As long as it's better than the Tim Burton movie.
That's sad that the Tim Burton movie wasn't as good.
No. It was not. So, anything else, Chris?
No.
Alrighty. Well, I watched a very eclectic group of stuff over the last week or so here. So I saw Let Him Go, which is it came out late last year, like in like November last year. And it was one of the it was a very limited theatrical run, and then it like was mostly like a POV, a premium video on demand sort of thing. But yeah, this is the Diane Lane, Kevin Costner like trying to get their like grandson back from like this other family that like has taken him. Well, basically the setup is that they like I feel like Kevin Costner just like literally just walked off the set of Yellowstone and just was like, all right, I'm the same character, whatever. Like I'm gonna take my cowboy hat off. That's the only difference.
That's the character. Distinct acting.
Yeah. It's a very like they're in like Montana. Although I was surprised it was a period piece. I don't think it
caught you off guard.
Yeah, I don't think the trailers really played it that it was like a period movie, but yeah, it takes place in the 60s. And yeah, so you got Kevin Costner, Diane Lane, and then they're living with like their son and their daughter-in-law, and then they have like a grandson, and then their son dies after he falls off a horse. Like a horse throws him and like basically breaks his neck. And then their daughter-in-law remarries to like this like asshole who basically is abusive to her. Like Diane Lane sees him like abusing like their daughter-in-law or their former daughter-in-law and they're like their grandson. But then he moves them to North Dakota to where his family is, like the Wee Boys is like this like clan that's out there. And so basically Diane Lane and Kevin Costner are like, well, Diane Lane especially, and then like she convinces Kevin Costner to go along with him to her to, like, we have to, like, go get our, like, we're gonna go and, like, confront them and basically, like, say, like, we're taking our grandson, he's gonna live with us instead of you. Because it's better, like, you're, like,
a better fit.
Yeah, like, he'll have a better home here. And it's basically, it basically kind of turns like an kind of like an investigation movie where they're traveling between, like, across, like, the Midwest and, like, gathering, like questioning people and, like, trying to figure out, like, where this family is actually. Because the only thing that, like, they basically just, it's like North Dakota is, like, the only clue they have. It's just like, oh, he went back to North Dakota. So they figure out, they have, like, no town, no nothing. So they basically have, like, kind of, like, piece together stuff along the way. And then they eventually do, like, figure out the town, and then they start getting into, like, this, like, confrontation with, like, this family that's, the Weebly family is, like, very out of, like, Justified or, like, something, like, they're, like, a very, like, it's, like, a kind of backwoods, like,
hillbilly people, just kind of, like.
Yeah. And, so, like.
I they live on the fringe, or basically they're almost, like, cut off from the rest of society.
Yes. And then there's, like, like, Leslie Manville is basically, like, a Margot Martindale-style, like matriarch who, like, runs the family. And then, like, Jeffrey Donovan is, like, the main, like, he's, like, the, like, nephew of Leslie Manville. And, like, he's, like, the main, like, guy that, like, is, like, he's, like, one of the kind of, like, he's, like, oh, hey, Diane Lane and Kevin Costner, I'll take you to, like, our family farm. Come on. You can trust me. I'm not shady at all.
Okay.
Yeah, and then things kind of escalate from there. It definitely, like from the trailers, like the description, I thought it was going to be kind of more revenge movie-ish. Like, I thought it was going to be, like, kind of, like, turned to, like, Take It or something, where they storm this house and, like, get their grandson back. But, it definitely the end is kind of like that. But, like, I thought it was going to definitely be, like, more of that. But there's definitely not, like, a lot of, like, it's not like a full, like, revenge movie or anything. It's more of, like, a, like, Western, like, investigation sort of movie.
But Diane Lane, like, she plays the wife of Kevin Costner, right? Yeah?
Yes, yes.
Okay, because I'm like, did they just watch, like, the Zack Snyder Superman movie, and we're just like, yeah, okay, yep, we want this, but now what if, like, they didn't have Clark, and they went crazy, like, it went kind of, like, justice heavy.
Yeah, it's Ma and Pa Kent go and try to get their, like,
get the grandson. And,
like, yeah, go get the grandson back. But yeah, it's solid, like, it's definitely, like, if you're going in looking for, like, some sort of, like, crazy, like, violent revenge movie, like, it's not, like, it's definitely not that, but, like, it's like a solid, like, kind of Western, neo-Western, like, you could also, like, it's kind of weird, like, you could definitely cut this movie to, like, you could, like, make it just, like, this, like, nice road trip between, like, this, like, older couple, or just, like, traveling across the country and stuff.
Yeah, like, yeah, to kind of, like, have closure and kind of, like, move on with life.
Because there's a lot of, like, especially in the beginning of the movie, where it's, like, when they're just kind of, like, just, like, driving, or, like, across the country and, like, having picnics and, like, stopping into small towns and stuff. It's just, like, all right, this is, like, a, like, what, like, is this a revenge movie, or this is, like, we're reconnecting in our marriage movie? Like,
well, one thing, I'm, like, reading the description and then sort of reading the plot, like, more, I'm like, okay, so
yeah,
it all stems because, like, they're daughter-in-law, like, dates this other person.
Yeah,
marries another person, and then his family's just a bunch of, like, hillbillies.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, his, like, Donnie, who's, like, the new, like, husband. Yeah, his mother's basically Margot Martindale from Justified season 2, where just runs this family, and this family is just, like, basically, like, intimidates this entire town. And they don't really get into any criminal stuff going on. Like, they're not like running, like, a meth lab or something, or, like, running, like human trafficking or anything. It's like
they're just a bunch of aggressive ass hillbillies.
Yeah, they just are very powerful in the town. Like, they basically like the local police are just like, hey, don't, like, you guys should probably leave town right now, because we don't want to get on their bad side. So
our local hillbilly family, who has no power besides their land, is just bullies. I guess they're just bullies.
Yeah, yeah, they're. Because they don't straight up imply there's not any sort of like criminal activity going on, at least as far as what we see. There's like a very intimidating, like, bullying family.
Yeah, because I'm looking for, like, what's the gimmick about this family that makes them so powerful? They're just aggressive, but, like, so is everyone in the countryside, you know what I mean? Like, that's just country people.
Yeah.
Granted, some country people are nice people, you know, like, they're very, like, humble. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, yeah, like, they're very protective about their land. Like, you know, like, they've got, like, super loose gun laws, and they're willing to arm themselves. Like, that's just gonna happen.
Yeah.
My thing is, Kevin Costner shows up and he's like, I don't like the way you're treating my grandson. Like, that was his gimmick.
Yeah, well, Diane Lane is more like the gung-ho one, like, we have to get our grandson back, and then Kevin Costner's like, all right.
I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, it definitely takes a while for it to pop off, but like, there's definitely a point where it pops off, and then it's just like, oh, okay. So, like, there's a really awesome super intense sequence where they go to, like, have dinner at, like, the Wee Boy house, and then you get, like, this, like Leslie Manville shows up, comes out, and she's like, just gives this, like, monologue about how hard their family, like, our family's been, like, dying, our blood's in the soil, like, family's the most important thing in the world to me. And so it's sort of like a Heat style, like, it's like a, it's like, it's like intense confrontation scene, and then it leads into, like, the ending where it's like things get crazy. But yeah, solid movie, definitely, if you want, like, we're checking out if you're into, like, westerns or just want to see Diane Lane and Kevin Costner go like take on Jeffrey Donovan and Leslie Manville and, like, a bunch of, like, backwoods bullies, backwood bully hillbillies.
It's like, it almost is like a sub story to a Justify world, yeah, where in that county, it's just like, hey, like, we had these crazy bullies, and, like, yeah, you know, the sheriff isn't here.
Yeah. I think if you like Justify, you like stuff like Winter's Bone or something, I think you'd probably be into this. And then, actually, speaking of, Kevin Costner dying, like, playing Ma and Pa Kent, I also saw the first episode of Superman and Lois, which is a new CW show. It had a 2-hour premiere this past week. I guess it's going to be the main, super, like, Krypton-based show, because Supergirl's ending whenever the new season starts. So Superman and Lois is going to, I guess, take over. as like the superpowered super person show, and it was actually pretty good. I don't know if it's just the budget for, like, this one double episode, and it's gonna, like, crash back down to, like, CW levels afterwards for the rest of the season. But, like, definitely it looked way better than, like, most of the other CW shows. Like, it looked like there was, like, definitely, like, some, like, cinematic, like, shots, and, like, it was shot in widescreen. Like, the whole episode, like, was in widescreen. Like, it definitely looked way more cinematic and better than, like, any of the other, like, CW shows, Arrowverse shows. And then obviously you have Taylor Hoechlin and Bitsy Tulock are back. They were in a bunch of the crossovers, now they're back as Superman and Lois, obviously, is in titles. And then it's basically picking up, and not, they have, like, teenage sons, twin sons, Jonathan and Jordan.
Was that, like, they skipped ahead in the universe? Because I don't remember them at all from the Supergirl show.
Yeah, I feel like they skipped ahead, like, however many, like, 14, 15 years. Like, there's a montage at the beginning of, like, kind of like it's, there's, like, a Cliff Notes, like, do you have no idea who Superman is? Here's a Cliff Notes of him. Like, and although there's a really cool thing in the, like, that montage where they, like, basically, like, Taylor Hoechlin's, like, wearing, like, the original
Superman outfit.
Yeah, like the Fleischer comic, Fleischer cartoon outfit, which is pretty awesome. And he actually does, like, the, like, classic, like, Action Comics number one, where he picks, like, he's, like, holding, like, the green car above his head to protect the kid. Like, they do that whole shot, which is pretty awesome. So But yeah. So in the flash forward, like however many years, and they're trying to deal with their teenage sons, and they think like their son Jonathan might have like developing powers because he's like very good at football. Like he's like a freshman in like high school, but he's basically gonna be the starting quarterback for the football team in Metropolis. But then they're also Jordan has like very like he has like social anxiety issues, so he's on meds and he has to go to therapy. So it's like they're like polar opposites of each other. But basically what happens is that Martha Kent dies, and then they go back to Smallville for the funeral, and they find out that like there was like Morgan Edge, who's like it's kind of weird too, because like there's a bunch of characters that were like already introduced in the Arrowverse, but then like they're new characters with like new actors playing them in, like now, which I guess you can like chalk it up to like Crisis. I guess it's like Crisis like made them new versions of themselves or something. But like you have like Dylan Walsh from Nip Tuck and a bunch of other stuff is playing General Lane now, but that was like Glenn Morshower in Supergirl. And then there was like I think Adrian Pastar was playing Morgan Edge in Supergirl, but then now there's like a new guy playing Morgan Edge. So yeah, I guess Crisis kind of like turned people into different people, or certain people into different people, I guess is what happened.
I think we talked about that too, where it's like how did the two versions merge, and I guess they just split the difference, where it's like, all right, like we're just gonna take that universe and just like bring them back to life, but then also change the actor, like,
yeah,
keep it in the story.
And there's like no mention of Supergirl, I think, going on there. It's just like, yes, it's Superman now. That's what's important.
I mean, I wonder if he's ever gonna bring up like
his cousin.
His cousin, and then it's, I know like in the show the kids find out that he's Superman. That's like the big thing. But it's like, oh yeah, you didn't notice like your cousin, your aunt.
No, it'd be like their second cousin or something. It wouldn't be, Carter wouldn't be their aunt.
No, but it's a term because, like, you know what I mean? Like, in that 15-year age difference, it's that generational respect where even though it's, like, his cousin, but, like, on the family tree, yeah, it'd be, like...
Second cousin, I think?
Second cousin, but she would be older than them. So it's weird to have a second cousin who's, like, older.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, Carl probably will never show up in the show, so this would be better. So, but yeah. So basically, so they go back to Smallville and they find out like there's like, oh, like Morgan Edge is like buying up, because like a bunch of the farms are like on in town were like either like went out of business, or like they had to sell their farm, and then but then like this like evil businessman Morgan Edge is like buying up the farms, buying up land, and like buying like the old mine and stuff. So it seems like one of the main plots going forward is like, what the hell is Morgan Edge doing to Smallville?
Is he an original character, or
he's from the comics? And then I like, yeah, like I said, like he was I forget what season it was in Supergirl, but he was a villain. I think like maybe like season 3 or so in Supergirl. But not yeah, now a totally new actor, new character, I guess. But there's also like a some sort of superpowered person, or like, at least he's wearing like a superpowered suit. Who knows knows Superman is Kal-El and is like sabotaging nuclear plants to kind of like lure Superman out. And yeah, and basically like this guy, like this, whoever this person is, like, basically looks like he's like the Doom Slayer or something for the new Doom game, or like Master Chief. Like it's a very like it's Master Chief Doom guy style armor. And then kind of, but the big stinger at the end is like he and there's like this like spaceship, or just like this like secret base, and it's like this like computer voice is like, "Welcome back, Captain Luther." But like, it's not John Cryer, because he's been playing like Luther for like the last couple seasons of Supergirl. So it's like, is this like a new version of, is it like a different Luther, or like is it like a different like version of Luther, or like so that's kind of like the big thing that they left off on for this like premiere. So. Some sort of Luther person is like causing issues in fighting Superman, and but then they also have to deal with like their like teenage son problems. Like they have to like Superman has to be a better dad and like be there for his sons and stuff. So
and then not freak him out because he's super powered.
Yeah. And they also decided to like stay out. They're gonna like live out, they're gonna live in Smallville now and like live on the farm and get the farm back going and stuff and figure out what is going on. So yeah, it's definitely, I think it's definitely one of the best debuts for like one of these Arrowverse shows. And like if they can keep like the look up, because it definitely it seems like it's more in line with like the the former DC Universe shows like Titans and like that's Doom Patrol and stuff, where like it seems like they had like maybe a better like slightly higher budget or something. Like it definitely looks higher quality than like some of the other stuff. Like it's not like Arrow and Flash, where it's just like, well, we changed this, we have like two sets and we changed the set, now it's the coffee shop and Flash, and then it's like the bar and Arrow. It's like
there's some like actual set design.
Yeah, and definitely the CG definitely looks better. Like it's not like Justice League movie quality or anything, but like it definitely looks, the CG definitely looks way better than like a lot of the other like Arrowverse stuff as well. So I'm definitely gonna keep watching. And then I also watched over on Disney Plus. I saw The Black Hole. Have you ever seen The Black Hole, Chris?
No.
So yeah, so 1979 Disney movie, which I think they were trying to capitalize on Star Wars, but it definitely feels more like it kind of leads more toward like 2001 side of things. Like there's definitely like laser battle stuff, but like there's definitely like a lot more like kid unfriendly like technical talk, and like the ideas are like a lot more like lofty than like a like Star Wars. But yeah, basically the setup of The Black Hole is that there is this ship that's kind of exploring deep space called the Palomino, and then the crew gets they find a black hole, obviously, because that's the title of the movie. But they find this ship that's like this long lost like ship called the Cygnus. And it's somehow like at the edge of the black hole, but it's not getting sucked in. So they basically figure out what the hell's going on with the ship. And then they dock with the ship, and they find out like the captain of the ship, Reinhardt, has been he's supposed to come back like decades ago back to Earth, but he stayed at this black hole, and he's basically like he's come up with this plan to like he's gonna go into the black hole, and like, and he thinks it's like a portal to like another dimension or another part of space.
He's basically
been working to like get the Cygnus ready so that it can like go into like he's been spent like 20 years like getting this ship ready to like go into the black hole. And so then the crew of this other ship is like, oh okay, like you should probably come with us because like people want to know like where the hell you've been, and like you like disobeyed orders and stuff. And basically they kind of realize like, oh, like Reinhardt's like he's like a lunatic, and like he basically turned the entire crew into like cyborgs that like do his bidding, and then he has this evil robot named Maximilian, who's like his like henchman who like kills people and stuff, and like he's kind of like a Captain Nemo kind of character, right? He's just like kind of like he's like,
oh, lost, he's like so obsessed.
Yeah, he's like obsessed with like this black hole. Like he's like, and he's like just like doing whatever it takes to like achieve his goal
of going through a black hole.
Yeah, and then going through a black hole, and, like discovering like what's on the other side, like discover like going to another dimension, going through like another like part of space, finding a new planet, whatever's on the other side of it. So yeah, he traps the crew, the Palomino crew on the ship, and like he's like, you're going, you're like, you can't leave. You can't spoil my plans. So they basically like figure out a way to escape and like get out. And then I think definitely like that's definitely one of the things that like Disney was like leaning into hard for this movie is like there's a robot character named Vincent.
What?
Vincent is basically like if C-3PO and R2-D2 like combined into one thing, it'd be Vincent, because he has a British act, like he almost has a kit. He's like a kit from Knight Rider, but like he is like this like short stubby robot like R2-D2, but he like hovers around. And I feel like they were like really like leaning to like, oh, kids are gonna love Vincent. Vincent's gonna be like
our
new character, yeah.
Is he like annoying now?
He's not annoying. Like he's like a kid. He has sayings and phrases that he's like constantly saying to the crew, and then like there's this weird thing where like he has like an ESP link with like one like this like the female member of the crew, Dr. Kate, like she can like psychically link with him and like they can talk to each other. So that's weird.
Okay. They don't establish why, he just does like a direct link.
Yeah, they're like just like out of nowhere, just like, Kate, use your ESP and talk to Vincent. And she's like, okay. Roddy McDowell is the voice of Vincent, so that's pretty cool. Actually, this whole cast is like stacked with like respectable actors. Like Anthony Perkins is in it, Robert Forrester, Ernest Borgnine.
Okay.
Slim Pickens is the voice of another like Vincent-esque robot named Old Bob.
Okay.
Yeah, like so, like basically, like there was like on the like the Cygnus, like the lost ship, there was there was basically like a bunch of robots that are like Vincent, but there's only like one left who's Old Bob. He's like very like beat up, and like basically Maximilian, the like evil red robot that like has like he's basically like a Darth Vader sort of robot, like basically destroyed all the other robots, and also like killed like some of the crew and like helped like Reinhardt like turned the crew into like cyborgs. But yeah, so basically like Bob's like, oh, he's like, all right, like we gotta get out of here. Like he they turned the crew into like these like zombie robots. Like, but yeah, basically like toward the end, like it there's definitely a lot of like technical talk and like a lot of scenes where it's like people like in like at tables and like around like sitting around tables like talking about things. That like it's definitely not exciting in the way Star Wars is, but then toward the end of it like turns into Star Wars basically, where it's just like laser battles and they're running through the ship, and then like a meteor shower like is like blowing up the ship as they're trying to get off of it. So the end is pretty awesome of Black Hole. Like it's worth watching just like to get to the end part where like stuff start, like the action like the stuff you actually like kind of like thought you were getting going into it is happens.
The actual sci-fi elements and not yeah, like political sci-fi, talks
sci-fi,
and
yeah, like sci-fi action starts happening, and then the like end is very weird because it basically does turn to like 2001 where it's just like this like crazy trippy sequence where they actually go into the black hole and there's like visions of like heaven and hell and like all sorts of other crazy stuff is happening. So it's just like, yeah, like very very trippy for Disney. But yeah, I think we're checking out. It's on Disney Plus. So you can check it out. It's got an like awesome cast. If you want to see some like late 70s Disney sci-fi. And then last thing, also on Disney Plus, I watched Lilo and Stitch.
Okay.
Which I had never seen before.
Never seen it.
I just for whatever reason I hadn't gotten around to it till now. I was like it. Like that whole whatever years those were, like early 2000s, like
it was like that's like late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, like you know, I finally saw like Treasure Planet and like Atlantis, like a couple years ago.
Okay.
But yeah, that whole era was kind of like just like a blind spot. So
what'd you think?
It's fun. It's good. I definitely appreciate like how big an asshole Stitch is at the beginning of the movie. Like he's just like a complete, just like dick for the entire movie, which is like a lot of fun. Like even going so far as like his only like reason for like going with Lilo is like to use her as a human shield.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually like a really good relationship turn, and it's like they both needed each other.
Yeah. Although yeah. I feel like it's a little jarring where it's just like it's like that one surfing session is like where like Stitch is like, oh, I'm good now.
It is weird because it's like he just kind of gives up and is just like, I guess I'll be a good guy.
Yeah. And also like, but it's also like way more jarring like for like like Jumba, and like the like at the end, like for like the last act, where like, it's like where it turns like we have to like go rescue Leela from like the alien spaceship, where he's just like jump, like he goes from like trying to like murder them to be like, all right, I'll help you, it's fine. And then like the very end, where it's just like, now we're all just a wacky family now, like Ving Rhames and Jumba and Stitch and Leela and Jason Scott Lee's surfer dude, and like we're all just a big happy family.
Oh, it's also super weird, the TV show and the sequential movies, like just more and more aliens, and then like Stitch gets a girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he like Stitch was 626, so that was the whole premise of like the show is like, well, here's the other 600 like yeah, experiments, yeah. Like.
So. It spawned a big franchise, but Disney kind of, like, keeps it, like, not getting too crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and definitely a very unique, I think, like, a unique look. Like, it's definitely has, like, a, like, everything's, like, very rounded. And like
oh, everyone's, like, chunky.
Yes, everyone's very chunky. And just, like, the, like, very, like, realistic Hawaiian setting, too, is, like, different from, like, a lot. Especially, like, the other stuff that was, like, coming out, like I mean, I think this was like post, like Treasure Planet, post like Atlantis. So it was definitely like a very different like, look compared to those movies. Like it was like super bright, super colorful. Like,
yeah, it was like
less CG. Like
there's a little, but
yeah.
So you saw the version on Disney Plus, right?
Yeah.
So there's a little edit on them. On that, where yes. like Leela goes into like a pizza box instead of the like dryer or whatever.
Yeah, she like in the original cut, she hides in the dryer to like hide from her sister, and then her sister like is on top of the dryer, and then kind of like pretends she walks away, and then like Leela gets out, and then her sister catches her. But yeah, in the Disney Plus version now, it's like a cupboard with a pizza box across the front of it. And then Leela like pushes like the pizza box down and like gets out. It's just like, what is like a they store old pizza boxes in this cabinet? Like, what is this thing? It's like even more like I understand they don't want kids like to be like, oh, I'm gonna go in the dryer like Leela. That'll be fun. But like, I mean, there's gotta be something else besides like a pizza box cabinet. Like,
yeah, I know it's weird.
Yeah, I guess they had to like. Figure out what would like fit over like what you can animate over like a dryer or something. Like you need to figure out something that, like where the drawer like drops down like a dryer door, I guess. But like yeah, it's one of the weirder edits on Disney Plus. But yeah, fun Disney movie. I like all the Elvis stuff too. Even though it kind of like it's they really like lean into it for, like once like one montage and then that's it. Like they kind of like abandoned it after like Stitch like blows his like big beach performance. Because just like the whole montage of like Lilo's like, you need to act like Elvis, the model citizen Elvis. And then there's the whole thing where like Stitch is like dressed as Elvis on the beach, and he's like playing guitar and everything, and like everyone's just like, oh my god, it's Elvis! Like, and then like he goes King Kong crazy when they flash, everyone starts taking pictures of him. After that, it's like the end credits where like they have like the Winona like Burning Love cover, but like right. Like there's like no Elvis after like that montage.
It just kind of like, all right, now to the next scene. It really was just like, can we just keep making these scenes and sort of connect them? Like, they're fun ideas, but there's no...
Yeah, the plot is very loose.
Yeah.
And I do also love, like Ving Rhames' Cobra Bubbles is an awesome character who is a former Men in Black / CIA agent who's now, like, a Child Protective Services person.
I thought he was there already for just watching the alien. I didn't think he was actually like the Child Protective Service, like real.
Yeah. It's like, what, like, did he like, I mean,
what are the odds?
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah, it is weird. Like no one, like no one questions Stitch for like a long time. Like, no one questions like, oh yeah, he's a dog. Like, it's normal that for a dog to like walk around on his hind legs and like just like act like a person. Like, but yeah, that was a cool like reveal at the end of like Ring Rams. It's like, where, like it's like the councilwoman of like the Galactic Federation or whatever is like, and she's like, weren't you at Roswell? Haven't we met before? He's like, Roswell. And just like he's just like as Ving Rhames as he could possibly be. Like,
yeah, yeah, he's not playing some other role. He's just the most Ving Rhames role.
Yeah,
for a Disney movie.
Yeah. So yeah, so go to check that out if you haven't watched it in a while or never seen it. It's on Disney Plus. And then I guess they're making a live action remake of that at some point. I guess they announced
eventually.
Like,
I feel like it's gonna happen eventually.
Well, I think that they got announced like 2018, but we haven't really heard anything since then. But it's gonna be like a Disney Plus exclusive, apparently. I don't know. That'd be interesting. I mean, Stitch would obviously still have to be CG. So
yeah, yeah.
Unless they get like Baby Yoda or something, like make like a puppet Stitch or something.
I'm fine with either or. Like, it, yeah. I get you can't really have that in real life, but then puppet Stitch, if done terribly, could be bad. But if they do it right, it could be great.
Yeah. So yeah, so that's pretty much it for what I'm watching this week. So we can wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site and check out all of our various features up there. We've got a new Gamebox article, so you can check out what games we've been playing for like this past month. You can still go over and check out our commentary from last month, or actually from this month. It went up a little earlier than usual, but you can watch Showdown from 1993 with us, the Billy Blanks Martial Arts Spectacular. And yeah, all the rest stuff is up there as well, so head over and check all that stuff out. And yeah, so for Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week. For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.